today on Real Radio.
Okay, stop and think. How do I imitate Christ as a child of God in what I'm in right now? Then you do that thing.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We're in chapter 5, the first two verses of which tell us believers how to live, how we are to represent our Redeemer. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Being Christian is Being Like Christ.
In verse 1, jot it down if you would. Being a Christian is being Christ-like in this respect, that we'll imitate God's love. We are to imitate God's love. And all of you who are believers, mark that down this evening. We are to be imitators of God's love. And this is kind of fun. Now listen carefully. You might think, well, you know, that's an abstract kind of funky thing, imitate, you know. Yeah, that's cool. But listen, what this means is this, that just as a child imitates its parent, the word here means to mimic. It's where we get the word mime, M-I-M-E, mime. You've seen mimes, right? They do this, I don't do mimes, but they do these things, you know? To mimic. The word is mimitis, to mimic. A child will mimic its parent. So we are to mimic our God. And here's the thing, we make it so mystical. We don't need to do that. Gee, you know, I'm supposed to be an imitator of Christ or of God. How am I to do this? And doing the imitation of God's love, what do I do? Think about it. Let's play together. Let's interact right now. If you're going to imitate God's love, somebody give me something. What would you do to imitate God's love? Somebody say something. What's that? Love somebody. Help others. Keep going. Show kindness. Love the unlovable. Show compassion. Give your all. Forgiveness. You could go on and on all night. Now watch. We can blurt it out. But if we put this into practice, we will be imitating the love of God as dear children. Watch what he says here. In verse 1, he says, therefore. Can you circle that word? Circle the word therefore and draw an arrow to verse 32. It's exactly what it means. Therefore. The word in the Greek means to go back to where he's come from. Verse 32. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. Therefore, built upon verse 32 comes verse 1 of chapter 5. Seems to be almost an apparent contradiction when you look at it. Therefore, be followers of God as dear children. Wait a minute. Children have a tendency to stumble about. Walk around, put their fingers in their mouth and ears and goof off and create, you know, be kids. But it says to follow God. Therefore, be followers, be imitators. Well, sounds like a contradiction, but watch this. To follow implies a maturity. We are to be mature in following God, following Christ. But we are to be like children. And we need to wipe the slate clean and realize that children mimic and imitate parents. Christians imitate God, Jesus. Don't imitate your pastor. Don't imitate Billy Graham. Don't imitate your friends. Imitate God. How do I do it? You said it a moment ago. Show kindness. Be compassionate. Love the unlovely. Be forgiving. And it's a choice. Isn't that something? And you'll see in a moment how that choice will benefit you, the giver. It will free your life completely. So there's no contradiction. We can follow God in maturity, but yet be children, because it's the word mimic. The other day, not the other day, it's been a couple weeks now. I saw this on the news, maybe you did too, where the guy up in L.A., got pulled over by a CHP officer for driving. He missed a stop sign. And the officer was there writing the guy up for a simple traffic violation. And the little two-year-old boy, did you see it on the news, picks up this marijuana and looks at the officer and says, "Bad, bad." And the kid got his father arrested for possession of marijuana. Now, what's cool about that thing is that this little kid had probably heard from either mom or dad, "Bad." Either this is bad stuff or bad like it's rad bad. But the kid goes, "Bad." And the cop goes, "You're going with me, sir." And took the father into custody. Because the little boy was mimicking, so to speak, the parent. You ever seen kids mimic when they get behind the wheel of a car, little kids? They're like acting like mom or dad behind the car. What do little girls always do? They'll dress up, imitate mom or imitate ladies. They got high heels and they're clicking down the hallway, you know, and they got makeup, lips as big as their face drawn on. You know, they're acting, they're mimicking. And in Greek philosophy and in the times of Christ, there was this thing to mimic, and the school of orators during the time of Christ in Athens did this very thing. Know your theory, imitate the greats, and speak with confidence. That was their rule. Imitate the greats. And the Bible wants us to imitate Christ. So, again, think, how am I to deal with the situation that you're in? Are you in a situation right now, if you're breathing and blinking, some of you are breathing, not all are blinking, you are in a situation right now. You might be saying, "Oh, I am, not me." No, you're in denial. That's why you can't figure out what you're, everyone's in something. Okay, stop and think. How do I imitate Christ as a child of God in what I'm in right now? Then you do that thing. What would Jesus do in this situation? What does God's word say to do? You do that. You do that thing. Being a Christian is being Christ-like in that we imitate Him. It's much more simpler than you think. We just need to condition our thinking to go to the Word of God, to go to the nature of Christ. When somebody tomorrow says, "I don't like you," what do? Roll up your sleeve and knock the guy out. No. The Bible says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. The Bible says, live peaceable with everybody as much as you are able to. You make a decision that I'm not going to respond according to me, but I'm going to react according to Christ. That's being a Christian. You might say, "Well, gosh, Jack, that means I have to think about it more often." Duh. That's right. It's a discipline of our heart and mind. It makes all the difference in the world if we succeed or not as His children. Very important. Therefore, takes us back. But more importantly, the thing that Paul seems to be stressing here regarding our love and walking as Christ is that we be forgiven and that we realize that we're forgiven and that we forgive one another. In verse 32, he says to be forgiving of one another just as God in Christ also forgave you. He says it twice. Therefore, be followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. This is interesting because verses 32 to verse 2 implies this thing about forgiveness. Why was Jesus offered up as a sacrifice? So that we might have forgiveness. Why was Jesus given as a sweet-smelling aroma? So that we might be forgiven. The context is forgiveness. Therefore, be followers of Christ. It's important. Why should I be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving? Listen, why? It's not fair. We think. It's not fair. Did you see the horrible news today? Somebody got in a confrontation with somebody on the freeway. And they were exchanging, witnesses said they were exchanging gestures one at another and words one at another. And these two women tried to run this one guy off the road, followed him down the freeway off ramp, and hit a car. It wasn't serious, but they hit a car. And then they just panicked and did a U-turn and drove right up the off ramp and went head on into a truck, 55 miles an hour. They said the collision speed was over 110 miles an hour. It cut the Mercury Cougar in half and killed them instantly. All because of anger and rage. Now, what did they think that they're going to accomplish? That guy cut me off. I'll show him. And they killed themselves. And you say, well, that's very, very, very extreme. Listen, if you have an unforgiving heart, it will do the same over the long haul to you. Yeah, but they know I don't like them. Yeah, listen, it doesn't bother them nearly as much as it does you. It'd kill you. It's terrible, you guys. It's no good. We're to imitate him as followers, and God forgives. When he says here, be followers, we're to walk in the same steps, in the same path, in the same way. When it says that we're to be kind and tender-hearted one to another, I like, as we're talking about children, I like the way a lot of children converse. Johnny, why did you do that? What do they say? Because. Well, honey, why did you paint the car today in the driveway with, you know, the house paint? Because. Why should you be tender-hearted, loving one another? Because we're children of God. The moment somebody says to you, now listen, I know they wronged you, but you've got to love them. You're a Christian, aren't you? If you hear, I'm going to give this away, in biblical guidance when we get together with people, somebody will come in and say, you know what, I'm really having a hard time because I want to strangle this guy. He, whatever, you know, and off they go. And are you a Christian? Yeah. Well, you have to forgive them. Watch this. Yeah, but. You ever heard that? But. As soon as you hear a yeah, but, you know that there's some heart problems here. Because as soon as you hear a but, it's their attempt at justification. And I know that your pain is honest pain. You are justifiably hurt, okay? You were done wrong. They were wrong in doing what they did to you. You're right, they're wrong. But now you're bitter toward them. Who loses? Who wins? Nobody wins, but you lose the most. Issue forgiveness for your own well-being. I heard a thing recently about mental illness. They were saying that mental illness, they think now, is so connected to an unforgiving spirit and heart. Have you ever been to a mental hospital? I don't mean have you. Have you visited one? Hey, look, this is a church. Maybe half of us have been in one. It's okay. How many people you talk to there? They're bitter. Angry. You ever been to a convalescent home? How tragic it is that they're so bitter. So many of them are so bitter and angry, and they're only killing themselves. We can never be following Christ if we're going to be unforgiving. Jesus forgives. Doesn't Jesus forgive people to the point that it makes you mad? You know, come on, Lord, go get them. And me and Jonah go up on the hill. We're going to sit there and watch God cook them. This would be good. And then he winds up forgiving them. What? Oh, wouldn't that be just like you, God? I got in an argument with God a while back. I lost, but the whole thing was, Lord, deal with that guy. Come on, go get him. And the Lord didn't do it. So I prayed louder. Lord, go get him. And nothing happened. Lord, remember the word says, vengeance is mine, I shall repay. Except I took the big capital M and put a little M in there for me. Vengeance is mine. The Lord didn't do anything. So then I told the Lord, you know, if I did that, you'd break my neck. And he said, you bet I would. And I said, that's not fair. And he reminded me, there's nothing fair about forgiveness. Forgiveness is beyond fair. Forgiveness is radical. It goes against the grain. And yet the one who trusts in Christ and takes hold of the fact that they're a Christian and they say, you know what, I'm going to follow the Lord. Against all their feeling and against all the usually the consultation of their friends and family, choose to follow Christ, and they issue forgiveness to that murderer or to that maniac or to that knucklehead, and they're set free. It's a spiritual concept. You can't put a material value to it. But how strange it is that an unforgiving heart often results in premature insanity and mental illness. How can that be? Issue forgiveness and follow Christ. Christians, forgive. Jesus says, for if you will not forgive men their trespasses against you, neither will your Father forgive your sins, your trespasses. And you might say, well, wait a minute, this is a very, very serious argument in theological circles. Wait, does that verse mean that you can lose your salvation? If I've been forgiven, and then I fail to issue forgiveness to somebody who's wronged me, does that mean God will not forgive me of my sins? And there's a big argument. Did you know that? Theologians argue about this. I don't know the answer to it. I think I would see how God's nature is about it as you look through the Word. I'll give you the argument, and then I'll tell you what I personally believe, but I don't know who's right. Jesus says, if you don't forgive, you're not going to be forgiven. Well, one of the arguments is an unforgiving Christian. They're a Christian. They're born again. But they're unforgiving. They fail. They're not willing to give forgiveness. Some believe that a Christian who holds forgiveness back will at least continue on in a backslidden, dead Christian state. Based upon Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, I believe that's true. I believe that's true. But listen, I believe that a Christian will issue forgiveness. It may take them an hour, it may take them a year. It may take them some time. But I believe, hear me out, that a Christian will eventually issue forgiveness because they can't stand to be separated from their God in, listen, communication. You look at Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, and it's not an abortion verse. It's not, uh-oh, you're out of the family. God says, no, you're in the family, and because you're in the family, I'm not going to listen to you, and I'm not going to bless your life. Doesn't mean you lose your salvation. Some argue that you will if you don't forgive someone. I just think God's not going to listen to you anymore. You're still his child. He's just like a good parent. He turns his back on you. He won't talk to you until the account is settled. Why? Because it's not Christ-like what you're doing. You see? I personally believe this, though, that a Christian bears the nature of their father. And a Christian will forgive. It may take them some time, but a Christian will forgive. Well, what makes you think that? Because we're sheep. Sheep eat grass. What do goats eat? You ever been to the zoo? They eat your pants. I've been there. They eat your pants. They eat your wallet. They eat your shoelaces. They eat cans. They're lunatics. Goats eat anything. There's one right back here. Did you know that? Walk out the back door and he'll honk at you or whatever he says, whatever he does. It scares the snot out of you every time you go back there. I always forget he's back there. And then he goes, meh! And it's like, ah! Go out there at night. It's pretty exciting. That's a goat. He'll stand on the fence and he'll nibble on that chain-like fence. Sheep won't do that. Sheep eat grass. Jesus says he'll separate the sheep from the goats. They're two different animals. They act two different ways. Sheep have a nature, goats have a nature. Christians have a nature, and goats have a nature. Non-Christians have a nature. Christians forgive. Why? Because they're Christians. They're Christ followers. It's their nature to forgive. It doesn't come easy. It doesn't come painless. But it comes. Christians forgive. I believe Christians will forgive because Christians are sheep. Because we are of His pastures. We know His voice. We follow Him. We are, in fact, Christians. And in this world, we are like Christ. And that's enough to convict the sick. I like what one writer put. He put, when Christians appear on the stage of life, the audience is to see Jesus being acted out. When Christians appear on the stage of life, the audience is to see Jesus being acted out. Isn't that great? That's how it ought to be. And there's always that battle, yes, of the old nature and the new nature. The old nature wars and builds up walls and declares a battle. The new nature builds bridges and announces peace. That's the new nature. That's being a Christian. And we need to be followers of His, especially in the area of forgiveness. Very important. In Matthew chapter 18, you can jot it down in your footnotes there. Matthew 18, verse 55, the Bible says, moreover, Jesus speaking, if your brother sins against you, go to him and tell him his fault between you and him. By the way, did you hear that? You and him. You don't gossip about it. You don't go talk to somebody else about it. If somebody has ticked you, you go talk to them. Our problem is somebody offends us or upsets us who's a brother, and we go tell everybody else, and then we finally, if ever, go to him. Did you know something? If you do that, you're sinning. If you have something against me, you come and talk to me. If I have something against you, I should go talk to you. I shouldn't talk to this group, this side of the church over here first. And you don't go to a prayer meeting. Lord, John has really wronged me. Lord, I pray that you'd help his walk. And you hear what you're doing? You are in a pretense, man. You're including God in the gossip.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Being a Christian is Being Like Christ. Our study is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, and of course other biblical sources that instruct us in how to live, how we are to be representatives of Messiah. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now remember to set the dates aside, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, February 20th, 21st, and 22nd. It's the Southern California Prophecy Conference that takes place then here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. And maybe you've thought, well, I'd love to go, but resources are a bit tight. Well, we've taken that into consideration as well. And so after prayer and contemplation, we've taken the unprecedented step of completely waiving the registration fee. Once again, there is no longer a registration fee for the Southern California Prophecy Conference this year. To learn more about the event, visit us at SoCalProphecyConference.com, SoCalProphecyConference.com. You can also call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.